Bruchim Aboyim to the second in the series of lectures, shiurim, that are entitled The Oral Tradition of the Written Law. Last time, we introduced a new concept, actually not a new concept, it's actually due to the Amora Reish Lakish, who says in Gittin Daf Samach Amor Aleph, Terech Hasuma Nitna, that in fact, in the course of the 40 years, from the time of the giving of the Torah to the time of its completion, and of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was an oral tradition, which was, according to Reish Lakish, later incorporated into a written text. And this is the opinion of Reish Lakish, and we went into detail with. Now, it's very, very important. I want to emphasize again the concept we introduced. According to Reish Lakish, there was no text, not even in the oral sense. You know, when people think about an oral tradition, they invariably think about an oral text which hasn't yet been written down. And this is certainly true of, according to many opinions, of the Mishnah and the Gemara, that in fact the redaction preceded perhaps by a few years, perhaps by a few hundred years, perhaps according to HashkafasRakodatka, maybe 600-700 years, it's actually, it's writing down. In other words, it's a commitment to a written document. But here we're speaking about an oral tradition without a oral text. In other words, the Torah, which I've asserted actually a coin of Shur Goyim before Yesi Ben Yaza, was in fact taught without a transmission of an oral text, but rather was taught every Rebbe would somehow impart his novella to his students, his chidushim to his talmidim. And in fact, this is Reish Lakish's understanding of the process by which the Torah was apprehended through the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, ba'aspeklora hami'ira. But the text of the Chumash was written, was actually committed to writing, and was actually formed at the end of the 40 years. Now, the fact is that this is an interesting opinion of Reish Lakish. Certainly our interpretation might seem novel, but the fact is that this is actually an assumption which actually pervades all of Chazal. And there are many cases which we encounter, statements of Chazal, that in my opinion, without this concept of an oral tradition preceding the writing of the text, then in fact, the Chazal, in my opinion, are in fact unintelligible. And let me give you an example. Now, even though I'm not sure exactly at what point people listen to this shiur during the year, but last week was last Shabbos was Parshas Vayera, and since today is Monday, so the Gemara in Gittin says that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday belong to the Shabbos previous, so we could still consider ourselves still within the Parshas Vayera. And there's a there's a pasuk in Bereishis in Vayera, Perak Yud Ches Pasuk Chof. There it says, "Vayema Hashem zakas doim v'amoyra ki rabo, v'chatosam ki chovda ma'oid." Kodesh Baruch Hu says that the cry of Sodom and Amora is very much, and they're very sinful. The sins weigh very heavily. And then after Avom Avinu parts from the Malachim, so it says in Pasuk Chavayz. This is Parak Yud Ches Pasuk Chavayz. It says, "Vayifnu mishama anoshim." The people, the Malachim, parted from Avram Avinu, parted, Vayelchu Stoima, and they went on to Stoim. Vavram Avinu Omid Lefnei Hashem. Avram Avinu is still standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi brings a medrash. Rashi's medrash goes as follows. Rashi says, Oidenu Omid V'chulei. So says Rashi, V'haloi lo halach l'amoy lefana. Avraham Avinu didn't go to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'etz loy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu. V'amma loy zakas doim v'amayra. In other words, Rashi understands the pasuk, V'yema Hashem zakas doim v'amayra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and appeared to Avraham Avinu. Kiviyachol. So what does it say? Avraham oidenu oimid lefnei Hashem. Right? Hayo lechtoi v'Hashem oidenu oimid Avraham. It should have said HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still oimid Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, he told Avraham Avinu about the cry that comes out from Sodom. And then I guess in the intermittent time, Avraham Avinu parts from the Malachim. So she had said that Kadosh Baruch Hu still Adero Oimer Avraham. Ela Tikun Seifim Huza. Tikun Seifim, not sure how this is translated, but actually this is a, I couldn't call it a correction, but a style of the scribes. Right? Tikun Seifim Huza. So of course, anyone who reads this Rashi, maybe this man is not everyone, but those of you who read this Rashi, so your eyes open up and said, what does it mean? Does it mean that the Torah was written by human beings who basically took a text and changed the text? So, says the, I'm reading from the Goralye, Eina Perush Chas V'Sholom. Chas V'Sholom. Says the Goralye, Sha Sefer Kosov Kach Batera. Chas V'Sholom that his Sefer would actually somehow word the Torah appropriately in his own language. Chalila loy makach. This is in fact actually kafira. This is apikosis. And, right? Ela perush, what does it mean? Sha'atera kosva derach kova klepe maila. The Torah spoke in a derach kova. The Torah talked with respect when it spoke about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, it doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu was waiting for Avraham Avinu, but rather Avraham Avinu was waiting in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, right? It says the Goralye, just like we say, for example, that the Torah speaks in the language of man. So this is like the Torah wrote in a way in which the Seferim, manner which the Seferim write. And therefore, lefichach omru, therefore, Chazal say in Bereshis Rabbah, tikun seifim hu. What is tikun seifim hu? It is a tikun, a change, a scribal change. I'm not sure how I translated it. Reitz leima inyan zehu tikun seifim, kamosha derach ha-seifim lo seifim. This is similar to the way the scribes write. Kosav ha-teva. Okay, now, I'm not going to go into detail what does tikun seifim mean. This is a much ink has been spilt on this. There are many shitas, not only of Rishonim, but there are also what appears to be the interesting Midrashim, Medrash Tanchum, etc., etc. I'm not going to go into this, but the Lashon of the Rashba, I'm reading from the Sifrei Chachamim, that's what he brought in the Mizrahi. So the Rashba also says, HaKavona Chalila Shoysifo Shoysilo Masha Kosa Batera Chas V'Shalom, that the seifim added, subtracted to that was written in the Torah. Afilo ois achas chalila ela inyan tikun seifim hu shem dittu kubasu lefi inyan kolach ve'echad min haksufim v'em she'ika kavara lo ha'isa kamo sheniru mima shekosu ba'seifim. In other words, the intention is not the way it's written in the Torah. Ela tzad kavana acheres. Interesting. The Rashba says a little bit more than the Goralye. That in fact, actually, the Torah intended to say intended, quote unquote, to say one thing, but said it in a different way. Okay, so in other words, the Rashba, Kedalka B'Kodesh, actually, in other words, he elaborates the fact that the concept of Tikkun Sefer means that the Torah somehow intended one idea, but said the idea in a different way. Expressed the idea in a different way. Okay? This is all B'Pi HaGevura. What I would like to say is that based upon what we've been saying, this notion, especially the way the Rashba phrases it, this notion, and even the way the Goralye phrases it, fits in very well to the idea of an oral tradition of the written text. The fact is that we have to distinguish the way things were apprehended through Nevuah, which we can identify with quote unquote speech and oral transmission, and the way things are written. In other words, the Kiviyachal, because we have no way of understanding what the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was, but in a rather concise way, we can say that somehow if we can imagine that there are two levels, there's an oral transmission, and then there's a text. So therefore, we can say that the oral transmission certainly expressed the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu peered to Avraham Avinu, informed him of the crimes of Sodom, and remained with Avraham Avinu until the Malachim left. And then Kodesh Baruch was still with Avraham Avinu, still appearing to Avraham Avinu. But when the Torah was made into a text, it was written with what they call Kavod Klapei Maila, that Avraham Avinu Odeinu Meid Hashem. So in other words, the concept of Tikkun Sofer can be understood very clearly. We don't have to speak about Chas V'Shalom like the Rashba says, Chas V'Shalom like the Goayi says. We don't have to speak about the fact that perhaps some scribe added or subtracted from the Torah. Right? But rather we can speak about the fact that the concept of Tikkun Sofer is a very good illustration of the notion of an oral transmission or an oral tradition which precedes the text. That's what I want to claim is the fundamental understanding of Chazal here. Okay, now, there's other examples which I thought about that there's many examples we could actually have an entire series of examples of where Chazal actually view the Torah as in fact actually a text which emerges from an oral transmission. But I just want to give another example how actually in fact a non-agadic example. It's a Tosfos in Bava Metzia, at the very beginning of Ezel Neshech, the fifth parak of Bava Metzia. It'll be a while before the Daf Yomi gets there, but when it gets there, you'll be prepared, and you'll tell your friends the pshat in the Tosfos. In Samach Amud Beis, in Bava Metzia, so the Gemara says that the Torah issued two lavim, two prohibitions, on the prohibition of lending money with interest, money with rebis. So, and in fact, actually, these two prohibitions are identical prohibitions. In other words, a person lends money with interest, he's either, he transgresses two lavim, two prohibitions. So the Torah asks the question, if in fact the prohibitions are identical, why is the language of the Torah in each prohibition different? And that's what the Torah says. In Samach Amud Beis, the second Torah on the Amud, Dibra Amascha Lama Chilka Makosav La'avo, Lama Chilka Makosav, La'avo La B'Shnei Lavim. So Tosfos has the question, V'itema, should you ask the question, V'lama Shina B'Loshon? Why the Torah change the Loshon, change the language? If in fact the intention of the Torah is just to slap he who lends with usury, right, with two lavim, they're identical, why should the Torah change his Loshon? L'chtov katzvecha lo'isin ten meneshech, u'veneshech lo'isin ten ochlecha. That's what the Tosfos asked the question. Why should there be a change? They're identical. As far as the oral laws for the Torah Shel Peh, they're identical. So the written laws are identical. So Tosfos says, "V'yesh leimar," and we're forced to say, says Tosfos, "Kevich hutzach shnei lavim," since the Torah had to write two lavim, two prohibitions, "orcha dekor," it's the derech of the pasuk, the derech of the scripture, the way of the scripture, "lichtoiv loshen meshuna," to write a slightly different language, "shuna yaisa," it's nicer. In other words, whatever Noah means, it's nicer to write a slightly different language. It'll be a little bit maybe prophetic, whatever it is. Very incredible thing. What is this concept of Shuna Yosa? It's nicer. It's nicer language if you write a little bit differently. As if the Torah has to appeal to an aesthetic form of language in order to communicate to love him. But, so in other words, Dal Sheni as much as you want, but according to what we're speaking about, the concept of an oral tradition preceding the text, I think the Tosfos is saying a very, very simple thing, is that in fact the transmission, the nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, the oral transmission, was that if a person lends his money with ribbis, so therefore he is over, he transgresses two prohibitions. When the text was formulated, the text had to communicate these two prohibitions, and the way in which the text communicates the two prohibitions has to be in such a way that there's a slight change in both clauses of the pasuk, because that's Noa Yosa. Okay, in other words, there are many, many cases in the Gemara and the Lashon of Rishonim, right, where Tosfos is assuming that there's a notion of an oral transmission, an oral law, which only at a later stage becomes redacted, al pi agvura, into a written Torah, into a Torah Shebichtav. Okay? Yeah.
It's early in the morning, but I don't understand how that Tosfos implies an oral tradition before the written tradition.
Because the Torah, where did the two lavim come from? The two lavim didn't emerge from the Pasuk. The two lavim preceded the wording of the Pasuk. The pasuk seems to be saying two lavim, but Chazal say it's exactly the same lav, even though one clause says kesef, one clause says oichel, but really it's the exact same lavim. It's not kamina. So, in other words, it's not, if in fact we're deriving the two lavim of the two pasuk, the lavim should be different, but they're actually the same. So therefore what? There's a concept of two lavim. The nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu imposed two lavim for exactly the same thing.
So why couldn't that have happened at the same time? Why couldn't
Okay, but there's an explanation.
I mean, when Kosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu
the Torah, what's called giving the Torah? There's two stages.
Because you're assuming Reish Lakish, but let's imagine not like Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
Kosh Baruch Hu hands Moshe Rabbeinu a sealed document with two psukim in it and says, you should know Moshe, the Torah Shabbat found this, is that it's one love.
I understand that, but what the Lashon is, since the Torah had to give two lavim, the Torah had to write a language which was nicer. There's a causality here. Okay. Look, that's why I understand it. Okay? Now, in fact, the very, very notion, actually, which I don't want to go into right now, but actually it's interesting that actually what's the notion of two lavim? It's actually, if you look at the sugi in Samach Aleph and Aleph and Bava Metzia, you'll see that actually the difference between what's called a Kal V'Chomer and a Binyan Av. A Kal V'Chomer you derive, let's say, B from a Pasuk A. So you start with Pasuk A and drive from B. But a Binyan Av, you take A and B and derive C. But usually C doesn't contain all of the attributes or the dinim of A and B. In a certain sense, a Binyan, a Kal V'Chomer is going from the text outwards. Whereas a Binyan Av is going from the inwards to the text. In other words, a binyan av, in a certain sense, is an oral law which precedes the text. I'm going to go into this in detail, but that's the difference between a binyan av and a Kal V'Chomer. A Kal V'Chomer, one induces from the text. In the binyan av, one creates a priori or law, a din, on the basis of two lavim. And the Gemara in Samach Aleph and Aleph, for example, in Bava Metzia, uses this as a way of determining that actually loy sigzol is not needed kipshutoy in the Torah because you already can derive that from the ribis and ainah, and because of that, the loy sigzol is speaking about oishik schasoch. If you look at Samach Aleph and Aleph and Bava Metzia, so actually the notion of an oral law saying the written law is actually important in several of the midas. But this is not a shir on the Yudgim midas. Okay, now not being okay now. Up till now, we've been speaking, referring to the position of Reish Lakish, which is orality preceding text. What about Rabbi Yochanan? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna. And as Rabbi Sedley remarked last time, Megillah Megillah Nitna, Rashi speaks about the Sefer Bereishis, the Sefer Noach. Your other last time was actually, I want to go back to it maybe another time. But in any case, so if Megillah Megillah Nitna, so what is the Torah that we have in front of us? The Torah we have in front of us, perhaps it's just the series of Megillahs that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, but that can't be. Why can that be? Because there's a concept called Ein Mukta Me'ucha B'Chumash. There's a concept that the parshas and the Chumash are not arranged in historical order. So therefore, you can't say that Moshe Rabbeinu was just jotting down his nevuah in a notebook, in a diary, and what we get is just the series of thoughts over the 40 years. You can't say that because there's a concept of the Torah that the parshas are not in what's called historical order. So we have to say already from the concept Emuch Mukta B'Chumash, which is actually a concept in Chazal, and it's used by Rishonim, it's used by Chazal and Rishonim, that we have to say that at least when Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu had written down the Megillahs, there was what's called a redaction. Redaction meaning even mean on a very simple level, taking the parshas and writing them down, right, in a different order. Now, what's the point of this redaction? So, this past week was Parshas Vayera, but I thought maybe, I'm not Chas V'Shalom trying to give a chumash here on a shkafa circle.com.
No,
chas v'shalom, right? But in any case, what I thought actually is that I would look at the very interesting case of Ein Mucha Mukta Machumish that appears in Parshas Lech Lecha, which is not this past Shabbos, but two Shabbos ago. Now, what is Parshas Lech Lecha? So there's a very, very interesting Gemara in Brochos, which everybody knows. Everyone knows Gemara in Brochos because they learned in the Daf Yemi. And the Gemara says in Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Folio 7, Side B, in Brochos.
That from Daf Yemi. That was 3 months ago.
Okay. For those of you who gave up on the Daf Yemi still remember Brochos. So anyway, so Omer Ab Yechem Mishim Hashem B'Yochai, says Ab Yechem in the name of Hashem B'Yochai, Miyayim Shabbo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asah Olam, from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, right? I'm sorry, from the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Lo Haya Adam Shekori HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adoi. There was no one who ever called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adoi. Avinu, with the correction with the Hagar the Bach. Achabah Avram, V'Kor HaAdoi, they called him Adoi. Like it says, Shenema, V'yema Adonai Bama Eda Ki Irashena. Okay, so this is a very, very famous pasuk in Bereishis. It begins actually the Bris Ben Apsarim. It's in Perek Tezvor pasuk Beis. V'yema Avram. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. Perek Tezvav Pasuk Ches. Vayoyma Adonai Elokim Bamo Eda Ki Irashena. That's the Pasuk. So now, Tosfos, on the spot, Esakasha. Right? Freik Tosfos. Dibu Hamaskal Oya Odom Shekora Odom. V'i Tema, says Tosfos. If you ask, Amaylo Miasi Kroa In other words, the pasuk that the Gemara brings, is in Perek Tezvav Pasuk Ches. However, right before that, there's a pasuk Beis, Perek Tezvav Pasuk Beis, Vayema Avram Adonai Elokim Mati Tenli Vanoichi Hoylech Hariri. The pasuk before that. In other words, the Gemara is speaking, of Chazal, Rabbi Yechanan, is speaking about the first time that a person called the Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Shem Adnos, right? What? Why bring the second case? Bring the first case. The first case is in pasuk Beis. So Tosfos is an incredible thing. Tosfos says, V'yesh Leima, Tosfos answers and says, Sh'apashus Leinemu B'Sekeseda, the parashas are not in order. In other words, the order of the parashas, the psuk and the parashas of the Torah, are not in historical order. There's that pasuk, the ben apsarim, haya koyim lachem. So what Tosfos says that the pasuk ches, which really begins the bris ben apsarim, right? Because after Avraham Avinu says, "Vayema Adonai Elokim b'ma edaki rashena," because Baruch says, "Vayema elav kacholi egla meshulashes, eiz meshulashes v'ail meshulash v'soy v'goyzal," that introduced the Bris Ben Apsarim. So Tosfos says the Bris Ben Apsarim was actually earlier. And Tosfos goes on. I'm going to go into the other Tosfos. It's not a Daf Yemi Shia. Tosfos actually goes on and says that actually the Bris Ben Apsarim took place several years before the Milchama of the Malachim of the kings. So it turns out, interesting enough is that you have the Milchama of the Malachim, which is in Perek Yodalad. Then in Perek Tezvav, the Torah begins, Achad Vom Ha'ilo Hayadva Hashem El Avram, B'machzel Eimor, and Rashi explains, and Tosfos quotes Rashi, that this is after the Milchama, because Avram Avinu was afraid, perhaps there'll be retaliation. Al Tira Avram, Anichim Mogin Lachaschach Rabbe Ba'oit. And then Avram has the question, Vayimah Avram Adonai Elokim Mati Teli Vanoichel Lechariri. That, right? However, before that, 3 years of, then when the Torah begins, in Pasuk Ches, Vayimah Adonai Elokim Bamai Edaki Rashena, that took place 3 years before the Milchama. So the Parshas are out of order. Okay, now, The question is, why are the parshas out of order? We're dealing here with a very simple redaction of the parshas of the Chumash. Why are the parshas out of order? Now, it could possibly be, one could say, maybe this is the Megillas Avraham Avinu she's referring to, but I think why are the parshas out of order? So, I thought, I mean, maybe perhaps it's a little bit more of a derech hadrush, but I'll say it anyway, that there's an interesting Gemara in the Dorim in Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara asks the question, what was the chait of Avraham Avinu that Klal Yisrael, that the Jewish people, became avodim, became slaves in Mitzrayim? The Gemara asks the Lamed Beis Amalaf in the Dorim. And in fact, there are three opinions, right? So one opinion is of Rabbi Yelosa, "Bipnei she'asin galya b'tamli chachamim." He took Talmi Chachamim and he drafted them into the army. Shmuel says, "Bipnei shifas l'midos shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Rabbi Avinu questioned Hakadosh Baruch Hu when he said, "Bama idak yirashena." And then there's a third opinion of Rabbi Yechon himself, who says that as he wrote in the Melchama, right, Hifish b'nei Adam li'kanes tachas kanfei Hashchina. Avraham Avinu did not, he was offered the prisoners by Melech Sodom, but Avraham Avinu says, right, ten yanev she'achus kach loch, right, otherwise basically that he wasn't maklim tachas kanfei Hashchina. Now, what's very, very interesting is that we see the three opinions. So the opinion of Shmuel seems to be clearly in the text of the Chumash, because Avraham Avinu in Pasuk Ches asks, "Vayayim Hashem Elokim b'ma idak yirashena, hifriz al amida," and immediately Kodesh Baruch Hu presents him with the Bris Ben Absorim. And of course, the Bris Ben Absorim, we have the Nevuah of the Sheba, the Mitzrayim. So, clearly Shmuel is saying, what does the Bris HaPsalm have to do with Avraham Avinu's B'maidak Yerashena? But clearly Avraham Avinu's question, right, was called Hafraza Alamida. So Shmuel's position is very, very clear for the text. But what's interesting is the other opinions of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechanan have to do with the war, with the Melchama. V'yorak as Chanicha, he drafted the Bnei Torah, or he wasn't Machnas Kavzik Avishchina. These are things that have to do with the Melchama. How did Chazal know? How did Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yechonah know that somehow these events which took place in the Melchama were the cause of the Shiva Mitzrayim? Not to mention the fact that according to the Tosfos, right, the Melchama is after Bris Ben Absalom. That's the question. Well, the answer is obvious. What's the answer? The answer is obvious. I'm insulting you to tell the answer. I'll tell you anyway. From the fact that the Torah wrote the Bris Ben Absorim after the Melchama, that's the raya of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yechanan, that clearly things that took place in the Melchama were the cause for the Shiva the Mitzrayim. So we see clearly in Chazal that they made use of Ein Mucho Mukdam BaTorah in order to express this very, very basic, you saw this very, very important theme that in fact the Shiva Mitzrayim is an extension of what we'd call the unfinished, uncompleted work of Avraham Avinu. So, the redaction, I'm calling quote-unquote, of course it's all up Piagvura, but the redaction of the parshas of the Torah was a way in which the Torah Shebachsav, Alpi Nevuos Moshe Rabbeinu, is coming to communicate these important fundamental truths of the Torah. And that's a very simple example. We'll get to, of course, to much more complicated examples, but that's a very simple example how the redaction of a text is being used to communicate an important principle. Okay? Okay. Now, given this, we see that Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish are expressing two aspects of the ksiva of the Torah, the way in which the Torah was written. that in fact, the Shlokish is emphasizing the creation, of a oral transmission, which later is cemented into a text. And this oral transmission obviously is something which contains very, very important ideas, profound ideas. Of course, there's Teres Moshe. And then there's a second aspect of transmission where Moshe Rabbeinu is taking texts, the texts of Nevuah, and redacting them. Now, it's very interesting that if we understand these two aspects, these two dimensions of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah and Ksiva the Torah, then we can understand a kash I always had since I was a little boy in the Yud Gimel Ikum of the Rambam. I didn't ask this, I don't think I asked this question in Yud Gimel Midas. In Yisoid Shvi, when the Rambam speaks about Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, he emphasizes the fact that the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level of intellect that any person could possibly reach. Even though the Gilsa that I have in front of me, which comes from Ashas, doesn't speak really so much about Seichel, it implies Seichel, but if you look at the proper translation in Rav Shilat, you'll see that there it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level of intellect that any person will ever reach. Mivcha min ha-noishi is a lashon of the Rambam. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level of intellect, he reached the level of Malachim. That doesn't mean he had wings, but rather it means that he reached the highest level of intellect. On the other hand, in Yisoid HaShmini, the Rambam says exactly the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu is a soifel. Soifel shekoyim levu koisev. He's sitting and just writing a text. These two things have nothing to do with each other. Why would you need the greatest intellect in history to copy over a text? But based on what I'm saying, we have two aspects of Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisoid HaShvi is speaking about the oral transmission, the Chidushe Torah Kiviyachol, the Moshe Rabbeinu apprehends of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is later placed into a text. Alpi HaGevurah. And for that, one requires the greatest intellect that will ever be. But on the other hand, if we're speaking about the redaction of texts, it's very, very important. There's a hakpada. The Torah wants to emphasize. I want to emphasize that these texts are exactly the texts that were apprehended by Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't tamper with them. And for that, when we speak about the redaction of texts, very much like the Rebbe's Mishnah, even though Rebbe redacted the Mishnah, he's very, very makpid on the lashon of the Mishnah to preserve the original language in which they were transmitted. From this, we need what the Rambam says: Sofi shekoyin levu kosev al sofi shekoyin le. Ascribe. So in other words, the two aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu are expressed in these two dimensions of the writing of the Torah. Okay, now, the fact is that this leads to a very, very interesting understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, which is in fact actually discussed in detail by the Mekubalim. In fact, it is, in my opinion, a very fundamental machloikis dispute between Reb Tzadok HaKoyen and the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. And this is going to be the subject of the next shiur. We're going to actually look at the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. Reb Shmuel, of course, is known to be the Bechin of Das, Seir HaDas, Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Zavek Chochmah Bina. And we're going to see two ways of understanding this. One is going to be in Reb Tzadok in Rassisei Laila. Another place is going to be in the Gaon in the Safed Tznei. And these two understandings of the Bechin of Das are actually going to be another way in which we're going to actually see expressed these two aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah apprehension and the writing of the Torah. Okay? That will be a mission for next time.
Can just before Rav Trus, yeah. The way Rav Trus has now explained Rabbi Yochanan, what is the machlokas from Rish Lakshan Rabbi Yochanan?
There isn't a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan, there are two things that took place. There was an oral transmission. There was two aspects of
the main nafkamin. According to both of them, the redaction was the end of 40 years. which you have to.
Right. In other words, we've got to see the redaction in two ways.
So what's the nafkamina about whether it was Megillah and Nitzna?
We'll see. Mitzvah. When we get to actual examples, we're going to see that. But for example, this gives us the tools. Tikkun Seifim is an example of the first type of redaction.
But both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi
Shlakish
agreed there was.
Fine, no, yeah, there's not a machlokes. I think Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, if you look at the text of the Gemara, it's not much that they're arguing. The Gemara makes a machlokes, but I'm saying that the original machlokes stands independent of that. It is not really a machlokes, because not everyone seems to be speaking to each other.
I mean, the difference would be whether the original Megillahs were written or just.
I think all we're seeing over here is two ways in which we understand the Chumash. We can understand the Chumash in two different types of ways. This is Chazal's understanding of the Chumash. Sometimes you understand the Chumash as being a text which emerges from an oral transmission. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you understand the text as being a redaction. So, for example, Ein Mucha Mukta Batera is a way in which you understand a redaction. Tikkun Seifim is a way in which we understand a text of oral tradition. In other words, Chazal are not interested in history. I think we established this several times. They couldn't care less about history. Chazal are interested in maybe modus vivenda, or in other words, how are we supposed to understand the way the Chumash operates? And in fact, we're going to see in Mirza Shem that Chazal actually based themselves upon the way they understood the Chumash operates, which means that we're going to show how Chazal really, what they are is what they claim to be, the true transmitters of the tradition that comes from the Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Until next time, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Kol Tov.